Thank you for tuning in today. My name's Frankie Mazzapica. The title of today's message is Stay Away from the Vultures. Stay away. Actually, stay aware. You can stay away or you can stay aware, but I want you to grab onto that word, aware. Stay aware of them. In the Bible, if we read the book of Genesis, particularly in chapter 15, we find a man by the name of Abraham, and God was blessing him. He made him exceedingly wealthy. He's very, very, very wealthy. And the way you get rich in the Old Testament is how much flock do you have? How many cows and sheep and goats? How much flock do you have? And he had more than anyone else. He was incredibly wealthy. And Abraham came to the Lord and he says, "You've made me so wealthy." And he was old in years. He says, "The part that breaks my heart is my wife is barren. She can't have kids. And so all that I have is going to go to someone outside of my family. I'm just going to give it to somebody." And the Lord looked at him and he says, I've heard your prayers. And I want you to look into the sky. And he says, all those stars that you see in the heavens, goes, that's going to be how many descendants you have. He said, but before I give you that promise, before I give you that blessing, I want to see you take a step of faith on your behalf. I want to see you make a sacrifice in your life. Paul says this, I'm going to talk about Abraham today, but Paul says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, because of how merciful God has been to you, just nod at me if you know that God's been very merciful to you. Paul says this, because of that mercy, offer your entire life as a sacrifice to him. And so, the sacrifice precedes blessings. To look at an area of your life and say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to say this anymore. I'm not going to act like this anymore. I'm not going to do these are sacrifices. And so these sacrifices are required before God will bless you. You have to sacrifice your life before you are saved. So the Lord is looking at Abraham and he says, I'm going to bless you, but I need you to make a sacrifice. I want you to go and take five of your animals and make and sacrifice them. Now keep in mind, that's how we got rich. This is what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 10. He says that Abraham, he presented God with the animals that he asked for. He presented them. And then he killed them. And then he cut them in half. He separated them. And he offered those sacrifices to the Lord. And then the Bible says this, that vultures began to circle down on the vultures, and this is what the Bible says, but Abraham chased them away. And so here we got Abraham is a shepherd. Now, you know when you look in the sky and you see like 30 vultures circling around, and all of us knows what that means. There's something dead over there. There's some carcasses over there. And so there's carcasses laying down. And when Abraham separated them, it's like he made an aisle between them. So he's got half of the heifer over here, half of the heifer over there. He separated all five of these animals. There's like an aisle right between them. And so here comes the vultures to feed on the sacrifice. And so now the Bible says that he chased them away. He's chasing them. He's swinging to get these vultures out of here. Now you ask, what these vultures are coming to take the sacrifice. any time you decide, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to talk like that. I'm not going to act like this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to start doing this. Anytime you do that, vultures come down on that sacrifice because the vultures know that if I can get you to stop, then I take your sacrifice away. You only made the sacrifice for about 10 minutes. And that is going to cause the blessings, the promises that God has for you. It's going to stop. So Abraham knew that. So he's saying, no, 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 I want my kids. He's fighting for his kids. My sacrifice is for my kids. My sacrifice is going to allow me to do what I'm born to do. I'm born to be a father. You're not going to take what I was born to do away. We're all born to do certain things. Some of you a father, some of you a mother. But even in addition to that, there's a divine assignment. And when we're saying, you're not going to steal my sacrifice, I'm not going to pick it, I'm not going to let you take it, Satan, and only allow me to make that sacrifice once, we're saying, my destiny means too much to me. There's too much available for me to stop sacrificing. When I pray, I think to myself, because right before I pray, I'm just like you. I don't feel like it. You never feel like it. It's like, no, I have to do this. Why? Listen to this. There's too much available, and there's too much on the line. I've got to say, I don't feel like it, but I know what you're doing, devil. You're trying to get me to stop praying. These are vultures messing with me. These vultures do three things. These are my three major points. Number one, they're after your thoughts and your attitudes. Number two, this is going to be a fun one to talk about. They're like bartenders. They want to get you drunk. Number three, sacrifices bring the fire, the anointing of God. So let's just talk about the first one. These vultures, when they swoop down, what are they trying to do? They're trying to mess with your thoughts and your attitudes. This is why in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, get rid of your old sinful nature. All of us have different struggles. You know what yours are. It's probably different than the person next to you. Get rid of them, which has been corrupted by lust and deception. The devil's lying to you. And if he can't get you to not believe in God, he'll get you to believe that your decisions don't have consequences. That's the devil. He said, get rid of it. It's deception. Get rid of it. Instead, let the Holy Spirit change your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on the new nature of God. It says put on the new nature of God. It's an action. It's deliberate. It's intentional. My nature, what I want to do is terrible. But this is what I'm going to do. It's after your thoughts. If he can control your thoughts, he can control your behavior. If he can control your behavior, he can control your actions. He's after your thoughts and your attitudes. I was speaking at another church last Sunday, and the pastor was telling me about somebody he knows, and he's saying, this is my friend. He drove through Nebraska, and he got a ticket while he was in Nebraska, and he wasn't even really going too much faster than the speed limit. He was so angry, he decided, I'll never go to Nebraska again. And because he's on the border of Nebraska, he's got to go all the way around Nebraska to get where he's going. He won't drive through the state because he's not going to let that state have his money. He's not going to let them have his Starbucks or his gas. I'm not going to contribute to your state. And you guys are scum, all of you. And I'm thinking to myself, these vultures, they're controlling your thoughts, bro. I've got a very close friend of mine. He won't speak to his father at all. Goes to church every single Sunday. Pays his tithes every single Sunday. But he refuses to talk to his father, this unforgiveness, this vulture, and he doesn't even try to get it. Matthew 7, verse 21, actually Matthew 6, 15, it says this, if you refuse to forgive others, he will refuse to forgive you. Forgiveness, not forgiving someone, is an unforgivable sin. It's unforgivable. You don't forgive, you don't give forgiven. It's an unforgivable sin. Unforgiveness is an unforgivable sin. And I think to myself, you chase that vulture away. You got to back up. Sometimes forgiveness can happen in a moment, and sometimes it's a process. But either way, you got to get these vultures out of here. And if you don't, you'll find the vulture is just sitting on you. You will argue with that person in the car when you're in the car by yourself. They got you. Thoughts and behaviors. But then, if the vulture lands, it wants to make you drunk. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, this is Paul pleading. He's saying, do not get drunk with wine. It will ruin your life. Instead, be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Now, he's not saying don't drink wine. He was actually mentoring a young man named Timothy, and he was scared because he was too young. He's looking at older people older than him. He was afraid to preach. He's throwing up. When I first started, I was sick to my stomach before I looked at people. I started when I was 19. Everybody's older than me. I'm scared to death. And Paul looks at him and goes, look, go have a glass of wine. He actually says this, it's good for your stomach. It'll help you. But then he's saying over here, do not get drunk. But why use that as a comparison? Why? How does that even get in the conversation? Do not be drunk with wine. Instead, be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever tried to talk to a drunk person? How does that go? I ran the New York City Marathon like 8 years ago, and our children were really small, so my wife couldn't come with me. So my brother comes with me, and we're in New York, and he sees this guy, and now he feels compelled to witness to him. So he goes over there to tell him about Jesus. Initially, I was like, man, this is going good. And then I realized this guy is stone cold drunk, like out of his mind. And if you've ever been to New York, it's like every 31st person is drunk out of their mind. And he's talking to him and he's telling him with passion, Jesus died for you. He loves you. And the guy looks back at him and goes, I love you, man. Drunk people go into the I love you zone sometimes. I love you, man. I love you.
You don't even know who you're talking to.
Their thoughts are controlled by the alcohol. Their emotions are controlled by the alcohol. Their actions are controlled by the alcohol. Everything they're doing, their behavior is controlled by the alcohol. There are vultures on them. And he's saying, hey, rather than doing that, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. Instead of alcohol filling you and controlling you, I want the Spirit to be filled within you and the Spirit controlling you in the same way. Why are you thinking like that? The Holy Spirit's all up in me. Why are you acting like that? I don't know. Holy Spirit's all up in me. Why is your behavior? Why? At some point, even if it wasn't alcohol, maybe it was thoughts and behaviors and actions, but in this particular part, it's like I'm not acting like everyone else. I can't do what you do. That's a vulture. I can't live like that and expect to get the promises that God has for me. I can't put your hands together. I can't do it. Why did Abraham, for the entire day, he's swinging at these things. The animals are dead. What does he care? The sacrifice was contingent. The promises of God were contingent on the sacrifice. Satan, you're not going to swoop in and take my sacrifice away. This is how I choose to live. How long, how many times, how many spirits came along? The Bible says he did it all the way until the nighttime. These spirits, they want to make you drunk. When I was in school, I actually went to the same school as Crystal Williams. She's one of our singers. Stand up, Crystal. Wave at everybody. That's her. Everybody loves her. We went to the same school growing up, so none of you get to talk to her. Isn't that how that works? You don't talk to her about me. I was inches away from getting kicked out of school, and the principal said, if you do one more thing, you're gone. And so I'm concentrating as hard as I can. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm concentrating. Some people can be good without concentrating on it. You ever meet somebody like that? Sometimes I look at people, I'm like, you've never had anyone in your life not like you. And they're like, oh, well. Some people are just like that. Me? I got to concentrate. And he looks at me and he says, Frankie, you're concentrating on not doing bad too hard. It's like what you need to do is concentrate on doing good, and you naturally won't do bad. His name was Mr. Parker. He changed my life forever. And he's saying this. He's like, now that I've grown up a little bit, it was a scripture that he was quoting in a softer way so that I'd receive it. Now that I'm older, it's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He's saying, do not walk after the flesh. Don't do things just because you want to. Don't do things just because you feel like it. No. Don't follow that. No. These are vultures. Just don't do that. Instead, look for things to do well. Turn on the worship music in your car. Go to the church YouTube and find worship music, watch the service over again. You got a zillion songs in the palm of your hand on your phone. And it, all you got, play worship music. It's so, just be that person of encouragement. Some people, you can't trust them because they're always saying something bad about somebody. Are you with me? You're like, I cannot, do not talk to them about anything significant. Are you with me?
Yes.
These people are vultures. They're going to kill you. Just imagine you got a pool stick and you're looking at their head. Like, you're a vulture. I can talk to you, but you're a vulture. Anyone have someone in your life that's a vulture? Blink twice if you're sitting next to them. They want to make you drunk. So these vultures, they mess with your thoughts. They mess with your emotions. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's these vultures. And sometimes, in full transparency, they just land on me. I didn't get them. And I know they landed on me because I feel myself getting mad. I feel myself getting angry. I feel myself getting depressed. See, I'm anointed to preach this, but I have to live it just like everybody else. And so when it lands, I can feel myself. I don't feel like praying. If you love the Lord in your head and you love the Lord in your heart, but you can't say it with your mouth, there is a vulture with its claws sitting on the side of your face, just closing your mouth. You didn't see it coming, and now you're cold as ice, and you didn't see it coming. And I got to tell you, sometimes, not in that aspect, not in that, it's more for me. I fight depression. That's my thing. If that vulture lands on me, I get depressed. That's how it gets to me. And once it lands, you know, it's very hard to get it off. And if we don't talk about that this morning, then we're doing ourselves a disservice. When you get down, you get discouraged. I got really down during the first service on the front row in church. I just started thinking about every single thing I wish I was better at. It's horrible. I'm 6 foot two, and then I was 6 foot, and then I was 5'10", and then I was 5'8". I'm shrinking. I'm shrinking. I'm just going down. I'm like, dear God, help me. I'm up in like 5 minutes. Help me, dear God. I got to encourage them, and I'm depressed. This is not good. I'm like, not good. You couldn't hold it in, could you? You tried. But it's in these situations, you got to figure out, what do you do at that point? Do you just let the vulture live and enjoy that spirit? Just live and enjoy that? Or do you say, there's too much on the line? I didn't do good fighting it off. I need your help now. And you got to open your mouth and break the claws of that vulture that's sunk into your lips and say, I need your help. How many times have I been driving down the road in my truck by myself and I look at the passenger seat and I imagine Jesus sitting right there and I look over there and I'm like, I need you right now. And I keep saying it over, I need you. I need you right now. Right now. I love you. And then I start praising him immediately. The enemy cannot bring you down while you're lifting him up. He can't do it. Can't do it. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I need you. I love you. I love you. I need you. You're my deliverer. I love you. I love you. I need you. And he just comes along and just slaps that vulture off your mouth. Now, let me get back to what happened after he separated the sacrifice. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 17, seven verses later, that he saw a steaming pot and a torch on fire going right through the sacrifice. Now, if you read scripture, fire is a representation of the Holy Spirit. When you make sacrifices, when you say, devil, you're not gonna get me. I'm active. If you're not attacking, you're losing. The Spirit of the Lord sees that and says, I see your sacrifices. And now I'm gonna give you the promises that are buried in your heart. And sure enough, his wife Sarah, who was 100, had a baby. It's a miracle to reach 100. Had a baby and has descendants just like the stars in the sky. All because he fought for his sacrifice. Why don't you stand up on your feet for me if you would. I want us to do something together that I want to challenge you to do often in your life throughout the week. When you have a thought, a desire that you long for from God, you put your hands out like you're going to receive it. And you remember a scripture in Job 12:10, it says, the life of every living thing is in the Lord's hand. Watch this. And the breath of every human. Every breath you take is coming out of the Lord's hand. It's beyond our imagination. Out of his hand. When you think of something that you desire from the Lord, you put your hands out, knowing that the next breath is from the Lord. And say, when I breathe in, I just want your Holy Spirit to touch me and make me new. And what we're talking about this morning is sacrificing things in our life to keep those vultures away. And why? We want that fire of the Holy Spirit to burn in us and protect us. And fire keeps you warm. It brings comfort. Fire in the middle of the night keeps wild animals away. We need the fire. And so I want you to put your hands out like this and just say, Lord, as I breathe in, I want to breathe in your Spirit. Repeat after me for a moment. Jesus. Jesus. Say it like you mean it. Jesus. Jesus. I love you. I'm sorry for every single sin. I want you to fill me with your Spirit. For those of you that you already know that you've been filled with the Spirit, I just want you to know refillings of the Holy Spirit are like waves in the ocean. They just keep on coming over and over again, fresh and new. And what I want you to do at this point, now that we've prayed together, I want you to lift your chin. I want you to look to the Lord the best you can, try to visualize him. And I just want you to concentrate on inhaling the breath that he's giving you. And breathe in the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Sometimes an evil spirit, a vulture, will sneak itself into your thoughts and emotions. And in the same way you're breathing in your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, I want you to exhale. Just say, every time I breathe out, every time I blow out, devil and spirits, you leave me now. Get out of my thoughts. Just breathe that spirit out. So it's like, I want you out. Holy Spirit, I breathe you in. And concentrate on that for the next few minutes. Go ahead. Don't pray. Let me pray for you. Every evil, tormenting spirit, you leave the room now. Now. Presence of the Lord. Touch every person in a fresh way. Just breathe them in. Can lower your arms. I'd like for all of our prayer partners to come down. Sometimes life is easy and you have no burdens. It's just life is good. And then there's other times where life is hard. Life is a challenge. You are not supposed to deal with those challenges on your own. You're not supposed to. That's why you can't get rid of them. If you could get rid of them, you would have had the challenge for 60 seconds. You cannot get rid of them. You need God. And you know that because that's why you came today. If you want someone to pray for you, come out of your seat. Come take the hand of a prayer partner and let them pray for you. There's no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready. But let's sing this song one time through before anyone goes. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.